Actually, if you could see me just for a second after the show, also, I just want to ask you something. Alan Stein, Yonah Abramowitz, Jay Brody, Daniel Tracer, Adam Hertzberg, Donnie Shaffron. Did we ever find out? Did he switch Shiron? What? I think so, right? He went to Rav Khan, is that it? Okay. Okay, good. I just want to get this. Okay, Ezra Blaustein, Rafi Mandelstam, Ariel Rosenzweig, Michael Gottesman, Ari Schwab, Zvi Lowenstein. Is Zvi here today?
Yeah.
Well, there he is. Okay, sorry. Ephraim Meth, David Stein. David Stein here? Anybody know? Yehoshua Davidowitz. Ellie Steinberger. Is he okay? Ellie? I haven't seen him the last 2 days. Noah Garden-Schwartz. Ari Shapiro. Wasn't feeling well today. David Zirkin. Ariel Schwartz. Ben Kandel. David Safir. Noam Fine. Benji Berman. Benji Berman? Is he here usually or not?
He hasn't been here in a while.
Hasn't been here?
I'll speak about it later.
What? Okay. So just let me know because I want to. Gabi Spivak? Gabi here today? Noach Lerman? Noach? Is he here? No. Eliel Lustiger? Here? Tan Sesters, a tough day. Daniel Tabak, here. Eitan Ben David, Makiva Block, Aaron Kulik, excuse me. Daniel Goldstein, did we ever find out what happened to Daniel and Goldstein? Is he in the chair or not? Daniel Goldstein? Hasn't been around. Okay, so I'm assuming that he's not in the chair. Okay, if he. I'm assuming that he... Do you know where he went? Just a little...
No, I can find out.
Okay, try to find out. But I'm assuming he's not with us. Yoni Fox, Jonathan Cohen, Ben Wallach. Is he in the share?
I'll talk to him at the home
back. Okay, so put a question mark. But again, let's get these figured out. Daniel Lowenstein. You seem to know all the information. Yehuda Turetsky, Joe Wickler, Donnie Landman, Elichai Bitter, Oren Wachstock, Avi Block, Ari Schwartzberg, Yitzi Klein, move there. Huh? Okay. Ari Levine, Daniel Natel, Yoni Levin, Mike Gugun, Baruch Dov Braun, Dovi Bergman. Are they here today? Is Dovi here today? Yehuda Bernstein, is he here? Okay. Shlomo Eisenberg, where's everybody today?
People went home.
Oh, really? Oh, because it's a weekend, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yossi, right? Michael Kurin? Okay. Yehoshua Koenig? Is Yehoshua okay?
I went to Israel.
Wow. Anyway, that's no excuse. Just hook him up to the. Noam Block? Ari Michael, Aaron Siner, Michael Cinnamon, David Chasky, are they here? No one's here?
Everyone took Gimel's Vankil and
Kovalash. Wow, okay. Not the way you ever been at top.
Not.
Okay. Donnie Noll, Michael Stein, David Asher, Eliel Kukowski, Eli Rosenberg, and how about Josh Berman? Also missing? Okay, so again, when we get back to after Purim, we should, you know, whoever's here really should be here. Otherwise, you know, they should find a place where they'll be, which is a good thing too. But whoever's supposed to be here really, there's no point. You know. Okay, so let's speak about the Tzom for a little bit, and then we want to speak about Harsha. Okay, I think last year we spoke about Matanos Lev Yonim, as I recall. Is that right? So just to pick up on the basic idea, the broader idea, which is the nature of the tzom of Tanis Esther. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tanis, so it seems like the Rambam treats Tanis Esther like the other Tanesim. It's even striking that he omits any reference to Tanis Esther in Hilchos Megillah. But at the same time, if we look very carefully, the Rambam does not formulate Tanis Esther the exact way that he formulates the other Tanesim either. As we've had the opportunity to discuss at other times, the Rambam has a unique shita about the Tanesim, which he develops in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tainis, as well as Perek Hei, Hilchos Tainis. And in both cases, the Rambam stresses this concept of Midarkei Hatshuva. The Rambam sees the opportunity of a fast day as one which one can reevaluate one's life, one's general life. You could take the opportunity of events of the past in order to, you know, throw a little scare into the future, or at least inspire one to take greater responsibility, I guess, is a better way to say it, in his life. That's what the Rambam explains in Perek Aleph, and again in Perek Hei. Yeshem yamim shekol Yisrael misanim bahem bepnei atzaros she'iru bahem kedei la'orer ha'levavos v'liptoach darkei atshuva v'yezeh zichron l'maseinu ha'raim v'maseh avoseinu she'yokim maseinu ata ad shegarim lahem v'lanu osan ha'tzaros. This is the famous, I'm reading from Perek Hei this time, but this is the Rambam's view. She'bezichron dvarim elu nashuv lehitiv she'nemar v'yisvadu esavonam esavon avosam. And then the Rambam goes on to discuss the Tanesim that we commemorate every year. Ve'elohein, Yom Shlishi v'Tishrei, Shabo Nera Gedalia ben Achikam, Asiru v'Teves, Shabo Samach Melech Bavel, Nuchadetzah Harasha al Yerushalayim, Ve'heviyah b'matzaru b'matzok, Shivasa v'Tamuz, Kamisha Dvarim Irubo, Nishtabra Luchos, Batla Tamid, etc. And then, of course, Tisha B'Av, V'chamisha Dvarim Irubo, and then we have the elaboration of Tisha B'Av. Then the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet, Ba'arba Yimei Tzomos Ha'elu Harein Mufurosh Mekabbalah Tzom Harvi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom Asiri. Tzom Harvi is Eshivas Abitamos, Tzom Chamishi is Tisha B'Av, Tzom Shvi is Shlosha B'Tishrei, and Tzom Asiri is Asara B'Teves. And then he adds, the Nagu Kol Yisrael B'Zman Emelis Anos. And then finally, he adds, "Bishlosh asar ba'adar zecher l'tanis sheisanu bimei Haman divrei atzamos v'zaakasa." So it sounds like, even though the Rambam puts Hilchos Tainis in, Esther in Hilchos Tainis and not in Hilchos Megillah, that nonetheless he very specifically, very intentionally, separates it. excuse me. From the other Tanesim. He doesn't have this whole formulation of Dvarim She'iru Behem, you know, inspire us, the Dvarim Arayim, Zechel Maseinu Arayim, Maisav Asenu She'ukum Asenu She'garim Lanu V'lehem Osan HaTzaros. He links it, but separates it. B'nogu Kol Yisrael B'zman Meil L'Yis'anos, B'shloshos of other Zecher L'Tainis She'is'anu B'mei Haman. It's not Zecher L'Maisim Arayim, and the threat so much as it is Zecher L'Tainis. It's based on the language in the Megillah. Shenemar Divrei Atzamos V'Zaakasa Imchol Yud Gimel Ba'adar Lios B'Shabbos Magdimim Insanim B'Chamishi, which is what we do today. Shehu Achad Asar Aval Echad Me'arba Yumei Atzamos Shechol Yos B'Shabbos Dochen Oso La'achar HaShabbos. So basically the when the Rambam finally brings it in, he also brings it in order to accentuate the difference between what happens if you cannot observe the Tainus in proper fashion. So when it comes to Purim, we're Makdim, and when it comes to the other Tzomos, the rule is Akdume Puronisa Lo Mekadmim. So is this just a convenient point in which to make this Chiluk in the Rambam, or is this also part of the pattern? Namely, the Rambam could have said that you know, just because the pasuk in Zechariah doesn't happen to mention Tanis Esther, but everything about it, you know, there are not four, but but five tanesim. You'd bring the different makar. This one isn't referred to in Zechariah. This one's referred to in the Megillah, right? So most v'zakasam. The Rambam could very well just as easily almost have integrated Tanis Esther with the others. He doesn't. He formulates them independently. Only when he finishes with the others and with the whole peroration of Darkei Atshuva and Dvarim Arayim, only then does he bring in an additional Tanis, namely Tanis Esther. And it's also in this context, the same halacha doesn't even wait till the second halacha to make this distinction between Hakdama, Agdume Poroniso Lo Mekadminan, and Tanis Esther. So even though the Rambam doesn't formulate Tanis Esther in Hilchos Megillah, he does treat it differently in Hilchos Tainis. In order to understand what this may be about, so let's just take a step back for a moment and speak just for a minute, not just about Tainis Esther, but about Purim itself. Again, in our worldview, we all look at Purim as a time of not only happiness, but often frivolity. And the question is, this is a little what we discussed last year and other years, try to bring it in different ways, but again, you know, the world, you know, even the halachic world sees Purim in very, as a time of frivolity or time of, you know, legalized frivolity. The unrestrained or unconstrained simcha is sometimes blurred with that. And for good reasons, because if we look even at the psukim and also at the halachos regarding Purim, it definitely points in the direction of being a day of few restraints, put it that way. The question is whether few restraints is the equivalent of frivolity, or whether this frivolity at least isn't for a purpose, and which requires us to keep that purpose in mind in order to properly fulfill the day. Again, in previous years we've spoken a lot about the change in the Megillah itself, right? The Pesukim in the Megillah already indicate the shift, almost the struggle as to the character and the nature of the day. And again, the original formulation, I'm not going to speak more about it today than that, but Alkeina Yehudim Aprazim Hayoshim Barea Prazos Osim Yom Arbaasa Lechodesh Adar Simcha Mishta V'Yom Tov Mishloach Manos Yishoreyehu. The original formulation may have been that it was supposed to be a Yom Tov like other Yomim Tovim, defined as a Yom Tov, and that's why the Gemara says in Megillah that originally there was an Isra Malacha that was associated with Purim, and that was changed. The Gemara says this itself, that there was a change in strategy in the later Psukim, and three Psukim later, when we read Osam, and here we have Yimei Mishta of the Simcha Mishloach Manos Yishrei Matanos Levyonim, and the Gemara noted the dropping of the word Yom Tov, which is why the Gemara says that there's no Isur Malacha. And again, in years past, we've discussed whether or not Isur Malacha is completely gone, or the idea that Misha Osa Malacha but Purim Eino Broa Simin Bracha, and other indications may indicate that, you know, well, there's still kind of a Yom Tov, a tinge of Yom Tov on this day, or it's Dafka not Yom Tov, it shouldn't be a Yom Tov. I think that is an important machlokas of Shor. I also noted years past that the distinction is not just the dropping of Yom Tov, which is what the Gemara notices, but also the reversing of the order of Simcha Mishta Mishta V'Simcha, which the Rambam ignores. The Rambam calls it Simcha Mishta in Hilchos Megillah. But again, the original Pasuk said Simcha Mishta, and then this Pasuk Chabes, the later Pasuk, which dropped the Yom Tov reference, also switched from Simcha Mishta to Mishta V'Simcha, the suggestion being that in a Yom Tov, the Mishta is a reflection of the Simcha, but basically the Simcha is where you begin, and you just express it through Mishta. It's not generated by the Mishta. The Mishta is one of the manifestations of it. It's generated by the Kedushas Hayom, and by the Isur Malacha, and by the other aspects of Mikra Kodesh, Talmud Torah, Tvila, Kriyas HaTorah, Korbanos, etc. Whereas in Purim, with the shift, with the dropping of the Yom Tov, possibly what they also decided was that this is more of a artificial stimulant kind of simcha. Leili mishta v'simcha. It's a simcha, instead of simcha reflected through mishta, it's a mishta which generates the simcha, hence the more physical and mishta-oriented aspect of the day. And how that coordinates as well, we just talked about with the inclusion of Matanos L'Avyonim, as opposed to the original formulation in which there was Mishloch Manos Ish L'Reyehu, but there was no Matanos L'Avyonim. Okay, so this change in this shift in strategy of how to spend the day and how to focus, undoubtedly, is not so much a shift in the. This is what I think is the most important point. It's not a shift in the character of, you know, what it is that we want to. It's not a shift in the message of the day. It's a shift in strategy, or maybe even less in strategy, maybe even more in tactics, of how to bring about that common goal. And if indeed there's a goal that it's common to Yom Tov and Isur Malacha and all that it implies, and Mishta V'Simcha and Matanos L'Avyonim, and the idea of Adalo Yada, so obviously that common goal is not primarily defined by the frivolity aspect. What it projects is that the frivolity of Purim, or the lesser constraints of Purim, are meant also to project and to convey the same kind of thing that a Yom Tov is intended to convey in its way. Namely, the theme of Kedusha, of Hashkacha, in particular, in its way. And therefore, even if we do find rule-breaking allowances on Purim to promote, or in some cases as a concession, to the more uninhibited posture that we allow, that we may even consider to be lechatchila, things that are normally frowned upon, we shouldn't be too distracted by that, and we shouldn't be too misled by that, to thinking that the message of Purim isn't a serious message, and that in turn should have impact on how we spend the day and what we think about during the day, and also putting some brakes, obviously, on the lack of constraints. So, for example, the question of Mechilas Kavod, Kavod Rabbo, Kavod Aviv, the question of Nezek Ben Adam Lechavero. Some of the other things, Beganisha, the question of getting dressed up in costumes, all of these things which are really quite anomalous on the day, and which in some cases could and should be done, in other cases shouldn't be done, but at least as a kind of a, we kind of take it in our stride as, in this case, maybe an unfortunate but a natural consequence of what we want from the day. So these things are part of the fabric of Purim. They're quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, not so much in the Rambam, but in the Shulchan Aruch. And nonetheless, they shouldn't really distract us too much from the bigger picture, which of course remains the idea of hashgacha, the idea of emphasizing the potential of tefillah and the potential of bitachon in our lives. And of course, this is particularly true for the, again, most salient of these unrestrained licenses, Chayv Adam Visume Bipuria Adalayada, which again is limited by many of the Rishonim. Kolbo speaks of it, and Orchas Chaim Kolbo speak of it in very limited terms. Again, some Rishonim think it's not lahalach at all, as we've discussed other times, again, Rabbeinu Ephraim. But even those Rishonim who are more enthusiastic about it, again, may see it more in terms of a shiur in the basically it's the loosening up of one's inhibitions so that one can more fully experience this sense of hakaras hatov and simcha, or mishta simcha and hashkacha. So you're supposed to keep doing that as long as it's meaningful, ad sheyiradeim, that's the way the Rambam puts it. And many mefarshim explain that means that you do it because you're reaching a higher level and a higher level of this unrestrained, enthusiastic appreciation. And as long as you're doing that, that's significant and important until you reach this point. But it certainly doesn't mean that the purpose is to drink oneself into oblivion so that one doesn't really appreciate or understand or even experience at all the happiness of the day. And I'm talking about the, you know, whatever legitimate drinking there is to be done, you know, outside of driving, obviously, during the day, never mind, obviously, excluding that or completely from the night where there's no such halacha as well. So basically what I'm suggesting is that while we express the joy of Purim in a day that is, in a way that is completely, completely unique relative to the rest of the year, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there's a certain ambition in this, a spiritual ambition. It may, you know, not be so obvious. Maybe it's not supposed to be so obvious. But in the more uninhibited way, we're supposed to be really feeling this sense of hashgacha and bitachon. If we don't, then obviously it's the methodology is one which is counterproductive, and from that point of view, distracts from rather than contributes to the day. After all, Chazal, in many respects, Purim also is a day of Kabbalah Satorah, and Kabbalah Satorah is a day which is associated with pachad and yira, right? We say kimu masha kiblu kvar, and the girsa of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, at least in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samaches, is that when the Gemara talks about which days are kulo lochem and which days are kulo lashem, the Gemara seems to say that Shavuos and Purim are days that are kulo lochem. But the girsa of some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz quoted in the Mordechai is that the reason that Purim is kula lochem is for the same reason that Shavuos is kula lochem, because it's Yom Shenitna B'Torah, and we always associate with the Sinas HaTorah a concept of let's say Yira and Fachad and Ema. The trick is to be able to have that sense of Yira and Fachad even as one is in a state of unrestrained and uninhibited simcha, gilu birada. That's a challenge that we find in other places, in other contexts as well, but it's a challenge which is most difficult on the day of Purim, but if you could accomplish it, then it's also most effective on the day of Purim. So we should keep in mind that Purim is a day of Kabbalah Satorah, ki yom desinasa, and that's the reason for the lochem. Indeed, the zichram lo yasuf mizaram means that the purpose of Purim is that we should take away from the experience something which is enduring and impactful. And everybody knows the discussion in the Rishali, that the interpretation of which the Rambam and Ravid debate in the end of Hilchos Megillah, which is that even if all the kriyos in the future are going to be betalim, simple reading of the Rishali, that Kriya Samagila is unique, based on Vizichram Lo Yasuf Mizaram, and because Machlokes and Rav and the Ravid, whether we're talking about Kriya Betzibur, or we're talking about the Megillas themselves, or the actual Tochen of the Torah Shebichsav losing some of its status, the Ravid doesn't like that, and the Ravid suggests that the references only to a Kriya Betzibur. But whether we're talking about the enduring impact of the Megillah or the enduring impact of the Kriyas on Megillah Betzibur, it shouldn't be lost upon us that Zichram Layasuf Mizaram, that the purpose of the Kriyas on Megillah and of Purim itself is to make an indelible impression. And again, if one looks at it as just a, 24-hour or less opportunity to engage in behavior which is otherwise inappropriate, then and especially behavior which sometimes is not conducive to memory. So obviously, there's no kiyum in this pasuk, which is the basis for the unique status of Kriyas HaMegillah. And according to the Medrash Shochar Tov, which is also the basis for the unique status of Purim as a chag, or as a celebration at least. Again, the Medrash Shochar Tov has a formulation parallel to what the Yerushalmi speaks about in the Megillos, where he says that, you know, even if in the future Yemos HaMashiach, maybe the Moadim themselves will be Batel, we don't exactly know what that means, meaning the Moadim Daraisa will be Batel, Sukkos and Shavuos, and it's hard to understand, and Rosh Hashanah, I don't want to let go of Yom Kippur, but I'm not sure what they have in mind, but somehow Purim, you know, based on the same Pasuk, you know, that's something that will apply in the future. Again, the explanation that some Mefarshim give is that the whole idea of Purim is integrating the idea of Bitachon and Hashgacha with daily life, and it's Dafka, not a Yom Tov, and therefore it's, you know, the theme of Purim is memorable and enduring and in some sense more relevant even than some of the Darais or Chagim. But again, this is only true if one understands what it is, and one takes, one capitalizes on the opportunity on Purim to be thinking about some of these issues and some of these things. If this is the case, so then it seems that we can understand that the unrestricted simcha that we encounter on Purim is going to be not tempered with. On the contrary, it's going to be integrated with things that underscore this theme of Hashgacha and this being something which carries through for the rest of the year, and so on. Rav Amram Gon is of the opinion that one should say Tachanun on Purim. Again, we don't pask in this way, and I'm not unhappy that we don't pask in this way, but I also think it's a terrific shita. And his formulation is very, very interesting as well. Amram Gon and Seder Amram Gon says, "Ein omrim halel b'purim, matam, v'she'ein omrim halel al neis shebechutz laretz." Okay, that's one of the reasons that's given in the Gemara. It's already striking that, that this is the only reason that he quotes, and then he says, "Lefikach nofel adam al panav b'purim." So, how is one to take that? Again, we don't pask this way, obviously. But what does Rav Amram Gon, what does he mean by it? It could be that all he means to say is that if Lamaisa, you were going to say Hallel, then of course you just can't say Tachanun. It's a Tarta Sasser. You can't say Hallel and Tachanun at the same time. It doesn't sound like that's all that he's saying. But what it sounds like is that what he's trying to convey is the following. The Hallel, had we said Hallel on Purim, it would have been one kind of a chag. But the fact is that it's a neis shebechutz laretz. And that dictates that it's a different kind of neis. It's not like Chanukah. And it's not even like the Moadim. Again, what characterizes the neis of Purim is a much more subtle, again, the confluence of Hashgacha and Bitachon, you know, v'nafochu and ba'layla hazeh, ba'laylahu, nadadash nas hamelach, meaning the sense of, you know, looking at the whole story within a certain context, and realizing that you know, that there's a big hashgacha out there that runs the world. That isn't necessarily appropriate for the halal al anes that we say In more obvious nisim. Indeed, there's a debate, as everyone knows, probably the other day in the Gemara, that says that Kriyasa Zui Leila. So there's a debate in the Rishonim, famous Shita of the Meiri. So for some reason you can't do Kriyasa Megillah. Maybe you should say Halal. But most Rishonim don't. I don't know if. The Rishonim don't really reject this explicitly, but Rishonim, aside from the Miri, don't say it. Some of the Achronim explicitly reject it. Some of them say that it's not so. They seem to understand that when the Gemara gives the reasons why there's no Hallel on Purim, whatever reason is given, or maybe it depends on the reason given, it's not just a technical explanation. It's really there should be Hallel, but you know, we have it in the Kriyas HaMegillah. Or really, there should be Hallel, but it's a Nes Shebechutz Laretz. Maybe what they understand is that these are explanations not only why, in fact, we don't say Hallel, but why the Nes of Purim and the way that we celebrate the day is totally different than other Nisim. The fact that it's a Nes Shebechutz Laretz, and the fact that it's the Hallel that we say is not the Hallel of Hallelu as Hashem, Kol Goyim, Shabchu, Kol Ha'umim, but it's the more subtle Kriyasa Zu Hilela, the idea that, you know, it's Ein Megdaktikin Be'osi Oseha, meaning Megillah Ikra Igeres, Megillah Ikri Sefer, this whole interplay between, right, being medayik in every word on the one hand, and also stepping back and taking the long view, and seeing the masterpiece of the big chessboard of how things actually unfold. That's a different kind of a nes completely. And for that reason, you know, even if you could technically overcome, let's say lemaisa, you're not going to say Kriyas HaMegillah, but the fact that the chosen form of Hallel as Kriyas HaMegillah means, or that is mutually exclusive with Hallel, according to many Mefarshim. The fact that it's Neis Shebechutz Laretz and not Neis Shebe'eretz Yisrael means that we take the whole thing in a different direction. And I think that's what Rav Amram Gon is suggesting as well. Lefikach Nofal Adam Al Pana B'Purim. I think what Rav Amram Gon is saying is, had this been a Chanukah type Neis, so then, of course, it would be a stira between Tachnun and Hallel. But, and maybe even had there been, from his point of view, Kriyasa Zui Leila, maybe that would have been the case for him. The fact, the factor of Chutz La'aretz in particular is important. But the chosen form of Purim, again, that struggle which is already reflected in the Psukim, and then later in Kisvuni L'Doros, and then in the various machlokas arishonim about how to function on the day of Purim, what to wear, what to say, and so on and so forth. All of this leads Rav Amram to believe that there's no stira between the unrestrained enthusiasm and uninhibited response of Purim on the one hand, and Tachanun. And on the contrary, it's a proper time for Tachanun. She'ein dome Purim l'chol mo'adim u'l'chanukah she'bekulam anu gomrim esahalel v'omrim zeh ayom asa Hashem v'ilu bepurim ein anu omrim, meaning it doesn't focus on this particular day or a particular act. It's about a larger sense of tefillah and hashgacha. V'yafal pi she'mishum she'ein omrim halal al hanes she'bechutz la'aretz hu sof sof harei anu omrim yom nesu v'nigalu Yisrael bo milahashmid ulahareg ulaabed utzvichen anu nilvakesh rachamim sheivdenu v'yigalenu b'achrona kabarishona. It sounds like Rav Amram is explaining it's not just because there's lemaisa no halal that you could or should be saying tachanun, but on the contrary, for the same reason that we don't choose to use the form of Hallel, the classical form, for that very reason, Tachanun is appropriate to this particular Yom Neis, a Yom Neis which celebrates how Klal Yisrael escaped Mila Hashmid, Ula Hareg, Ula Abed. And therefore, Tzrichan on Levakesh Rachamim, She Yivdenu V'Yigalenu Ba'achrona Kavarishona. The Rambam in his Hakdama to Mishan Torah in the beginning, he has this little, when he counts the mitzvahs, he talks about Baal Tosif a little bit. And I've read it in the past. He speaks there about Chanukah and Purim and why they're not Baal Tosif. And he emphasizes that, you know, in addition to the, you know, to the, you know, Hodah and Shevach, etc., the examples of both Chanukah and Purim, in this case in the Rambam, constitute an expression of the longer havtacha that Rabbanu Shalom gives to Klal Yisrael, that you know, b'chol dor v'dor, you know, you can, you can always find hope and salvation, you know, in the Rabbanu Shalom, no matter how difficult troubles, no matter how difficult troubles are. And in the Shoshanas Yaakov that we say, really this is part of what we're saying. Tshuva Sam LaNetzach, right? B'chol Dor V'Dor. I saw recently in one of the svarim that they put out. You know, they keep putting out these svarim of you know, the Rav Elvel or others, the family there. You know, Divrei Agada. So they keep, you know, every year they find a few more little pieces. So I think I saw it there or in one of the Hespedim that, oh, I know where I saw it, I'm sorry, I take it back. It was in a Hesped that was given when Rav Elvel died. So the Maspid, I'm trying to remember who it was now, was trying to show that you know, that even Divrei Piyut and even Divrei Shira, even Zmiros, you know, everything was, you know, was scrutinized, you know, for Divrei Torah. So I think he gave this as an example, that, you know, that I think he told the story in the name of Rabbi Michael Feinstein, who's son-in-law, that Rav Elvel once turned to him and said, you know, what's the pshat in Shoshanas Yaakov? You know, Tshuva Sam LaNetzach, etc. So he said, oh, you know, it's since we're singing the beginning, you know. So he said, Rav Elvel was very disappointed with this answer. And basically he opened up the same Rambam that I was just talking about. Got the Rambam in the beginning of what's that? You have the Lashon of the Rambam? Oh, good. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. So again, one more time. So there are two functions. One is the Hodah and the Hallel for the particular event. And then the Dore Doros, one more time. Ukadei lehodia ledoros. That's the first one. Meaning this idea that we have this kind of relationship, and that it's so Rav Elvel said that's the pshat in the song. That's what it means. And that's why we sing it on Purim, because Purim really has a double kiyum. We're focusing and celebrating on the particular events. Thank you for finding it. And in addition to that, there's this idea of Chuasam Bechol Dar Vadar. That really is a kiyum in Purim itself. It almost is perfect with the language of the Rambam in the Agdama. So what I'm saying is, in a way, that is exactly what Rav Amram Gon is saying about why there is Tachanun on Purim. Again, we don't do Tachanun on Purim. I would be a little uncomfortable with it, maybe, but I'm happy for this shita, and I think the formulation, which is that we were saved milhashmid alharugla abed utzrichim anu levake shvachamim sheyivdenu viyigalenu ba'achrona kabarishona. That's really what he's suggesting. Okay, and I think that a critical piece of this is obviously the tzom of Tainis Esther. And that's, I think, why the Rambam, even though he quotes it in Hilchos Tainis, doesn't really identify it the way he identifies the other four Taneisim. Bidarkei Hatshuva, an opportunity to scare ourselves, or at least to, you know, force ourselves to reassess in terms of Darkei Hatshuva, you know, Archataim, etc. Rather, the focus is to try to recreate the circumstance of Mordechai v'Esther, Divrei Tzom. Somos v'tzakasam. It's the tzaaka, not the yira, which it's about. I think this is particularly true for Rishonim other than the Rambam, who do introduce the tzom into Hilchos Purim itself. Again, the Shulchan Aruch certainly does. Tur and Shulchan Aruch speak about Tainus Esther in the context of Hilchos Purim. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, so does the Gemara. I mean, the Tzom is not referred to explicitly in the Gemara at all. But the Gemara Daf Beis and Aleph speaks about Yom Kihila Lakol, Kiva's reference previously. But in this case, now we're just in Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that Yom Kihila Lakol is a reference to Tainus Esther. And that's why Yud Gimel is certainly a yom in which part of the Bizmanehem, or the special din of Bizmanehem in Purim, again, part of another indication that we don't really focus so much on the particular event or the particular day, otherwise you couldn't have a Bizmanehem. It's more associating with the larger picture, again, in Medaktikin, the Osioseha, as much, the bigger picture. That's why it can be Bizmanehem. So, Yom Yud Gimel doesn't need a makar, the Gemara says, because it's Yom Kihila Lakol. So what's fascinating is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's a reference to the Tzom. But can the Tzom be a basis for Purim? It seems like the Tzom is opposite of the Purim. Purim is a Yom Mishta V'Simcha, right, according to the final psukim. Rambam's sticking with the Simcha Mishta side. And the Yom is a Yom of Tzaka, and it's a day of not of Mishta and Simcha and Adol Yada and Shtia, but on the contrary, it's a day of Tzom, as all of us right now know and probably feel. So how is it possible that Yom Kihila Lakol, which is going to be like the most obvious of the Bizmanehems, is going to be patterned after the Yom Tzom? Moreover, everybody knows the famous question, and hopefully the Ravid's answer, but the Rishonim all asked the question, how we could even have a Tainus Esther. But the question I asked a minute ago is, how could Tainus Esther, according to Rabbeinu Tam, be a candidate, part of the Bizmanehems of Purim, for people who can't celebrate on Yudalit, Bizmanehem? Now we're asking a more basic question, how can there be a Tainus Esther? After all, the Gemara in Tainus says that you have the Megillas Tanis. You have those days in which it was supposed to be Dolo Mispid Bubahon, Dolo Lisanos Bahon, days of celebration of some sort of miracle. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to have Hesped Tanis on them, or the day before, or the day after. So all the Rishonim ask this question in Tanis. How do you have the institution of Tanis Esther? And they give different answers. The Baal Amor says, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Tzarech Chizuk, and this is more than a Megillas Tanis. And other Rishonim take in the other direction. They say, well, Megillas Tanis is Batel, it's a special halacha that Chanukah and Purim were not. So the Megillah, the actual days, were not Batel, but the Yom Lefaneha, the Yom Lachreha, or at least the Yom Lefaneha, that was Batel. You have various answers that Rishonim give in order to justify the very existence of Tainus Esther. The Ravid's answer is the most appealing one. Basically, what the Ravid says is this is a different kind of a tzom. This tzom is a tzom which is a kiyum in Purim itself. As normally, you have a Yom Tanis, which is a sad day or a scary day, a day which, like the Rambam says, is midarkei atshuva, or if you don't interpret like the Rambam, so you'd talk about the commemoration of an act of Puranus, etc. And that's what a tzom. That's what a tzom is, and you can't have a tzom in the proximity of a yom of Yom Simcha. So you have to protect the Yom Simcha the day before, the day after, because you have the lingering, sadness, depression of the tzom, and you don't want that to interfere. But the idea of the Ravid is when it comes to Purim, what are you going to say? The whole point is that Tainus Esther is a kiyum in Purim itself. It's the contrast, and it's the effectiveness. It's a contrast from one to the other, maybe, and it's also the effectiveness of this particular tzom in triggering hashgacha, showing that tefillah really works, that that we can be somech on the Baruch Hashem, like the Rambam explained so beautifully in the Hagdama to Mada. because of all of this, it's not a detraction from, it's a kiyum in Purim. That's why it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. So then when you think back, that's exactly what the Rebbeinu Tam undoubtedly meant. Yom Kihila Lakol is a candidate for, it doesn't need a separate pasuk in even. That's an obvious bizmaneya. If this is true, so then basically what it turns out is that the relationship between the tzom and the simcha is a much more complex one and a much more complementary one. Instead of being a contrast and a problem, the sense of tzara and yet the impact of tefillah, the visceral sense of hatzala, all of this is manifest even more by the tzom, which precedes the simcha. And if that's the case, then it really becomes a very important day. And I think that's exactly what the Rambam meant by separating the treatment within Hilchos Tanis of Tanis Esther and the other Tanesim. Certainly this is true for the others. We find that Kriyas HaMegillah is defined in two ways by the Gemara in Megillah Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Different psukim are quoted, and the Rav used to speak about this a lot. Elokai ekra yomam velo ta'aneh velayla lo dumi ali. All the Nosa Kalim in the Turin Shulchan Aruch, continuously quote the words of Rashi. Zecher l'neis sheyutzoakim biyom tzarasan yom velayla. Sounds like Rashi's talking about Tanis Esther, right? But he's not. As this pasuk is not. It's talking about Kriya Samagila Balaila, Elokai Ekra Yomam Velo Tane, Balaila Velo Dumi Ali. So, while you have the other pasuk, which is about Shevach, Vahoda, and Simcha, this pasuk definitely accents the more sobering, if you will, more somber, meaning the tefillah part of the Megillah. It's the night, in sense, where you have the overlap, not tonight. This year is an anomaly. Maybe that's why it's even more important to speak about this. But in the optimal way, when you go from Tanis Esther right into Purim, so the transition is the Kriyas HaMegillah, Balayla, Lokaya Kra Yomam Velo Taneh, Velayla Velo Dumi Ali. So it's quite possible that the Gemara says that you're Shoneh Bayom, even after your Kore Balayla, right? Question is, it's the same Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom Balayla? Why do we read it twice? Of course, it's highlighted by discussions of Shechayanu, by Machlokas HaRishonim, the Rambam and Rebbeinu Tam, and others. You do or don't say Shechayanu. There are a lot of technical aspects to the question, obviously, which is the Ikara Kriya, when you do the same act day and night. Do you say Shechayanu? You don't say Shechayanu. But I've always thought, I'm sure others say it as well, that part of the Shechayanu discussion may also be that the theme of Kriya Balayla and the in the aftermath of the Tanis may just be different, and based on this idea of the Velo Dumi Ali, may be just different than the Kriya Bayom. I think that's possible, possible as well. This idea that there is kind of a transition from Tanis Esther to the actual celebration of Purim is something that the Rav used to speak about as well, and in the following context, the Trumas HaDeshen in Simin Kuftes, it's quoted in the Poskim and Torah already, quotes the name of the Ravid, that we can actually blur the lines of the Simcha and the Tzom. That if you have to, you can start reading the Megillah already at Plaga Mincha. So the Rav used to speak about this a lot. How can the Ravid and Trumas HaDeshen say this? After all, Plaga Mincha is always, anticipating. It's never actual. It's not Laila on any definition. It's not Yom Yadalid. How can you Plaga Milcha essentially is still part of Tainus Esther. So even if there's some problem, how can you actually read the Megillah on Tainus Esther? It's not Purim and it is Tainus Esther, both. So that's one side of the issue. The other side of the issue is a Chumrah. The Rabbis is of the opinion that you cannot eat on Yudalid until after the Kriyas HaMegillah. Okay? I mean, obviously, in a year like this year, it's not Yudalid, there's no issue, obviously. Once you finish the Tzom, you go home and you eat. But in a regular year, where Tainus Esther leads into Purim, so according to the Ravid, really you shouldn't be eating until after the Kriyas HaMegillah. So in a sense, the Ravid has a Kula and a Chumra. Tremendous Kula that you can read the Megillah early, after Plaga Mincha, and a Chumra that you can't eat, even though the day is over, and it's already Yudalid, and it's not Tanis Esther anymore. So I think the Ravid speak about both of these, as far as I recall. I know he spoke about the first, I'm almost sure that he said this about the second as well, that there are basically two sides of the same coin. And what the Ravid is saying, and I would just add, it works in perfectly with the other Ravid, namely the Ravid that says that the Tzom, the day before, isn't a violation of the rules of Megillah's Tainus, because this particular Tzom, as we know, is a Kiyum in Purim itself. So because of that, right, basically, it doesn't matter that it's Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther isn't that kind of a Tainus. You can already anticipate Purim. You are anticipating Purim. You're really beginning the celebration of Purim by Divrei Tzomos V'Tzach HaSam before. So even though it's not Yudalid and it's not Lila, but it's B'Toras Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther is related to Kriyas HaMegillah as well. By the same token, the Tanis may be over, but until you read the Megillah, the Tanis isn't really over. Because the same reason you can have Yudalid early, you can have Yud Gimel late. Namely, it's a transition from one to the other. And especially if you argue that the Kriya of the night is a little more somber and sobering, namely the whole drinking and the mishta, that's all did in the day. None of it applies to the night, according to most Rishonim at least. There's some discussion a little bit about mishta, maybe. So then this overlap in both directions, but Lakula and Lachumra, and especially for the Ravid of all Rishonim, is something that makes a great deal of sense. The Bach, also quoting the Ravid, that Tanis Esther also applies to Muberes. It's more chamor than other tzomos. Again, we find with regard to Tanis Esther, both extremes. I mean, obviously we find shittas that say that we treat Tanis Esther like any other fast. We also find that it's either more makil or more machmir. For my purposes, it doesn't make a difference whether it's more makil or more machmir. The important thing is that it's different. Maybe the fact that it is a kiyum in Purim itself, the tzara parts, let's say, are maybe less pronounced, but on the other hand, in a way, they're more important because they're part of the simcha. So whether Muberes is treated equally, less or more, but according to the Ravid, more, Divrei Tzomos, and again, they quote, Divrei Tzomos V'Tzach HaSam. It's a different foundation. It's a different principle. The discussion takes place with regard to the Nidcha problem as well. Again, I mentioned before that, you know, why is it that the Rambam found necessary to put this in the same halacha that he introduces Tanis Esther in a little different way, Divrei Tzomos V'Tzach HaSam, to mention the difference that, you know, Akdume Purusalo Mikadminan doesn't apply here. But according to what I'm suggesting, obviously, the answer would be that it isn't really Akdume Purusa. Again, for the same reason that for the Ravid it isn't a violation of the Megillah's Tanis, and you can read the Megillah early, or you can carry over, or you should carry over the Tzom even after Yudalid. For that very same reason, it isn't Akdume Paranusa. That's why you can have it early. I mean, there are other reasons, obviously, why you need to have it early, just practical reasons. You can't have it later, obviously. It has to come before Purim. But the What I'm suggesting is, even for the perspective of Akdumei Purinusa lo mikadminan, it really isn't Purinusa if you're talking about Tainus Esther. So this question of also how mekel or machmir we are on the tzom when it's not on its proper day, like this year, is also an issue. The tour discusses this, the Magen Mishnah, the tour, the Nosei Kelim, the Bach. I'm not going to read the details, but several issues. Number one, how much more mekel is the tzom when it's not on the proper day, vis-a-vis other tzomos. That's one question. Another question is it possible to have this tzom on Erev Shabbos? Again, we generally paskin that it's on Thursday, as it is, as we are right now. But there were some deos in the Rishonim that maybe Thursday, maybe Friday. Maybe you really should try to fast Friday, or maybe you should fast for 3 days. It was such a minug, maybe you should fast for 3 days, including the Friday. But again, whether you're more mekel or more machmir, you can understand that it's quite possible that we're mechalek, because A, it's less of a purinusa, etzev, meaning the component of sadness that is inconsistent with even the beginning of Shabbos or Erev Shabbos. These things are less of an issue, less of a problem. On the other hand, the other side of it is that you might actually be more mekel, because by splitting Tainus Esther from Purim, you've taken away a good chunk of the significance or meaning of Tainus Esther. The whole point is the transition. In that context, let me mention something else. It's a very funny line. I once spoke about this topic somewhere. And I once spoke about this topic somewhere, and then somebody who was in the crowd, Rav Shulman, actually, Shmerel Shulman, very big Tamachacha, so he sent me this little sefer, the Tashbats, because he said he finally had a good raya for what I was, this whole approach. So he sent me this Tashbats that says the following, Kufayin Dalid. The Tashbats has the following little plaque. Says, when you have, like this year, B'shechol Purim B'yom Aleph, Omer B'motzei Shabbos B'tfilas Shmon Esrei Ala Nisim. Af al pi Shelo Karo HaMegillah Adayin. Achar HaMegillah Omer B'hinoam V'ata Kodosh V'yitein L'cha Atzem. This is the psak of the Tashbetz. So it's a very strange psak. In other words, Purim falls out as it does this year, right? So you should say Ala Nisim, Afal Pi Shelo Karu HaMegillah Adayin. So the person who wrote the footnotes in the back, that's what he wanted me to see, says, what's going on here? After all, Tzorchi Yud Machilik Motzoy Shabbos HaReshar Yomim Gamken Adayin Lo Karu HaMegillah Kishu Nispal Shemun Esrei. We always say Mariv before Kriyas HaMegillah. Right? So what do you mean all of a sudden Motzei Shabbos? So he writes, V'nira de b'shar yomim shemis'ane yom shelefonam u'kelishne dekro divrei tzomos v'zak hasam hariyeh shaychus lomar lanisa avakashachal b'shabbos she'em mis'anin bo oz tzorech lememra afilo hochi omer malanisa. That's very striking. Meaning, one would have thought that that only because there's Tanis Esther are we allowed to say Ala Nisim immediately in the Tefillah. Well, one could have thought that would be counterintuitive. We're just coming from Tanis Esther. You can't say Ala Nisim until the transition takes place, which is after Kriyas HaMegillah. Just like we found, according to the Ravid, that you can't eat till after the Kriyas HaMegillah. Again, it could have gone either way. The truth is that there is such a Shita. And that again is Rav Amram Gaon. This he doesn't mention. This is I'm mentioning. I think it's one of the reasons he sent this to me. That if you look at Rav Amram Gaon, Rav Amram Gaon is quoted in the not in Seder of Amram Gaon. It doesn't appear there. I think so. I don't remember. I don't think so. But the other poskim in and Chachmei Ashkenaz in particular quote that according to Rav Amram Gaon, you're not supposed to say Ala Nisim in Shmoneh Esrei until after Kriyas HaMegillah. That itself is very fascinating. It means that the Kriyas HaMegillah, not the change in the day, is the catalyst for Ala Nisim. Until then, you're still steeped in the more serious Tanis Esther side. If that had been the Psak of the Tashbates, then we'd understand, you know, what he's saying. It would be the opposite. Maybe because Tanis Esther continues, and like the Ravid, maybe you shouldn't even be eating till after the Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Kriyas HaMegillah and its aftermath is the trigger of the Achila and of the Ala Nisim as well. But in the context of Motzai Shabbos, it would be the opposite. Where there's no Tanis Esther, so then you could say Kriyas HaMegillah, yeah, then you could say Ala Nisim even earlier. But assuming, like this person assumes, that the opposite is the case, that basically the psak is that all the time you would say Ala Nisim immediately, and you wouldn't wait till after Kriyas HaMegillah. So then what we're saying is exactly the opposite, but for the same reason. Namely, that the tzom, the tainus, is a kiyum in Simchas Purim, and it is what justifies, it is the basis for the saying of Ala Nisim. That is a remarkable shita. So either of these opposites are going to be remarkable. The Shibali Aleket has an interesting discussion, something much more moderate than this, but do you say Avinu Malkeinu and Tachanun in Mincha before Purim? Again, in a regular year. Today it's not an issue because it's not before Purim. But generally we don't, right? Because it's Erev Purim. Precisely because you have this kind of anomaly, right, where you have a tzom leading into a mishnah of a simcha. So we don't say Tachanun, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. However, Shibali Aleket says you should. He thinks you should say Avinu Malkeinu, you should say Tachanun, even though it's imminent Purim. But because maybe he holds that there's no stira between the two themes here. Again, the same reason that the Ravid felt that it's not a violation of Megillas Tanis, and that you can have Kriyas HaMegillah already, and yet you can't eat until after the Kriya. For the very same reason, we might argue that this is an exception to the rule that Erev Emishteh V'Simcha, Erev V'Simcha, you don't say Tachanun Avinu Malkeinu. Again, if according to Rav Amram Gaon, you say Tachanun, then certainly you can say Tachanun on Tainus Esther, and you can say Avinu Malkeinu, for the very same reasons. This question may have impact on the relationship of Purim to Inyanei Avelus as well. I'm not sure about that. That's a Machlokas HaRishonim. The Rambam doesn't limit Dinei Avelus on Purim at all. Shultos treats it like a real Yom Tov. We paskin that it's more like something in the middle, right? When there's no nihuge parhesia, more like Shabbos. That's an issue which may be connected to the transition from the tzom as well. Certainly, how we look at the bracha of Haravas Rivenu Adonis Dinenu may be connected to this, because Haravas Rivenu Adonis Dinenu is very much this theme of Yeshua and so on. As Machlokas in the poskim. What happens if there's a hefsek after the Kriyas HaMegillah before the saying of this bracha? Is that a problem or not? And would it affect whether you should say it, how you should say it? May very well depend whether you look at Kriyas HaMegillah and Ravis Rivenu Adonis Dinenu as being one and the same theme or not. And finally, just wanted to mention that the role of Beis HaKnesses may be connected to this as well. Again, the idea of Lech Knosis Ayehudim, and the idea that Beis HaKnesses, Ki Beisi Beis Tefila Yikarei L'chol Ha'amim, that there's a special din of Beis HaKnesses, does that play a role in Kriyas HaMegillah? We find in various Makoros that it's not enough to have a minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah. But Machlokas, whether you need a minyan Bismano, but certainly it's an added kiyum, even according to those who can get away without it. But now those who really emphasize very strongly the Sefer Itur and later the Chiddush Aran in Megillah, that Kriyas HaMegillah, the Beis HaKnesses, is a special in. So is that just an inyan of Barovam Adras Melech? Or is it because, again, Kriyas HaMegillah and Purim is really Yom Tefillah? Not an Eis Tzara, but on the contrary, Yom Simcha, but the Simcha which is celebrating Hashgacha and Tefillah. And therefore the idea of, again, Yom Kehila Lakol, Leich Kenosis HaYehudim, the idea that it should be in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Mokom Kehila, particularly a Mokom Kehila of Tefillah, is something which becomes plausible. So if that's the case, you know, we can also understand what we talked about last year, which was the idea of Matanos Levyonim, again, without repeating this whole discussion, but what I tried to explain last year was that there's a difference between Aniyim and Avyonim, and at least according to many poskim, it seems like there are strong indications that there's a difference between Tzedakah and Matanos Levyonim. And even if you compare the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Vav, where he talks about how, you know, ignoring the Aniyim on Yom Tov is a tartan sasri to the concept of Simchas Yom Tov, and compared to the similar but a little bit different language of the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, where he talks about Matanos Levyonim being a greater source of actual simcha, more so than Mishloach Manos and the Suda itself. In these Makoros, it really seems that Matanos Levyonim, an idea of Hata'ev, is really about the sense of, you know, rejecting the concept of Yiyush, and it's really about the idea of Emunah and Bitachon and Tefillah, and a person's faith that his fate can be transformed through an act of Hashgacha. And that idea is really consistent with the integration of Tanis Esther and Purim. So, in conclusion, although this year Tanis Esther is separated from Purim, and therefore it poses certain, you know, special challenges for us, the fact is that you know, even then, it's, you know, the principle of Akdume Purnisa Lo Mekadminan is not applicable, and that possibly not just for technical reasons, but for reasons that are more fundamental. And Tanis Esther, rather than being kind of a fate that we have to suffer before the unrestrained celebration of Purim, ends up being an inspiration and kind of like a roadmap in a way to some of the thoughts that we should be having, some of the reflections that we should have, we should be integrating into our Purim itself. So with this in mind, we should focus on this day, even though it is only it's a quirk of the calendar, but nonetheless, you know, it's Bizmanehem of the Yom HaKehila, I guess. This is the best that we have for this particular year, but a proper understanding of it was something which will contribute mightily to our unrestrained joy at Purim itself. Okay. We don't have that much time, but let's begin the discussion of Arsha. So at least we can make some progress there. The last thing that we discussed in Bava Kamma, we were pinning down some of the details of Davar She'eino Bershuso in relationship to Davar She'eino Shelo. So it's clear that that we now have to integrate this whole discussion with the final application, which is the discussion of Harsha. So let's have somebody just read.